Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York City. And I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, looking out the window at nothing. There's no rain. There's no snow. It's just a nice, cold 22 degrees outside. I'm nice and cozy. Cats have been fed. Everybody's happy. And I must say, there's been a shift. We have Jupiter entering Aries. Did you all feel a shift this week? I mean, in my house, because I have three cats, when Jupiter went into Aries, there were a few more fights, we must say. There was a little friskiness. And one of my friends said, I've never seen the cat get on the table before, Anne. I said, that's because Jupiter's in Aries. And we're breaking that habit right now. No 12 years of cats on tables. But it is the Aries, the big guy, the big gassy guy, you know, the old Jupiter, the lord of the solar system, yay, Ra, has finished with his journey in Pisces, where he has been, and he has finished a 12-year journey around the solar system. And now he is in Aries for the next 6 months. He was in it for a little bit last summer, you know, end of May, June, July, August, and then he went back into Pisces to clean up some last-minute business from his last 12 years, which is what you worked on all last fall when Venus was retrograde in Scorpio, in the relationships, the old boyfriends, the old girlfriends, the old jobs, the old life came back and said, take me back. Or you called it and said, will you take me back? Or some variation on the theme of what do I want with my life? Or you said, I'm not taking this anymore. Or they said, I'm not taking this anymore. At any rate, Jupiter is now into a new sign. He is done with Pisces. Now, you may not be 100% finished because Uranus has to get into Aries, which doesn't happen until March 11th. But Jupiter is saying, I have a new vision and it don't include you. Or I have a new vision and you're in it. Because he's got a new vision for the next 12 years. That happened yesterday. It's like so exciting. Ready to go raw. So if you notice the feel, the shift, that suddenly you were feeling a little more energetic. You felt like maybe you could take on the world. That's Jupiter in Aries. Now, Aries does give us a little bit of a sense of overconfidence, because it thinks it can do everything. And you can't, of course, obviously, and there's still all the other planets to contend with. But it can definitely feel pretty good. So our job right now is to kind of take that Jupiter energy and use it to envision. You know, we're still working the visioning this whole month. And then later this week on the 26th, Saturn stops. And he's going to go retrograde for 6 months. So we're getting the big vision picture as Jupiter starts. And then Saturn says, okay, I've been working on building these structures, but I think we need a little confab now that you're finally here in Aries. And they have been fighting, Jupiter and Saturn. They fought last year, remember, on the T-square in August? They were having a little argument. And then earlier, when Saturn was in Virgo and Jupiter was in Pisces, they had a little argument then, too. So they're going to have one more argument, too, where they oppose each other. Now, what that does is twofold. First, let's go back to Jupiter in general. Think about what was going on in your life in February of 1999. You had a vision then, and you kind of thought, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Or, you know what I want to do? I want to go do this. So in February of 1999, you began to kind of move towards that. Then in June of 2000, Jupiter and Saturn met. Now, they meet every 20 years or so. And Saturn is the thing that we use to build the structure of our life. And Jupiter is the relationships that support those structures. I mean, in addition to other things, of course. But that's the part where we go, where Saturn says, well, you know what I really need to do this is I need five captains of industry, and I need three designers, and I need two fabric sewers, and I need a partridge and a pear tree. And Jupiter goes, okay, I'll go get it for you, Saturn. Because Jupiter is the person who does the connecting of our chart to the greater world. Not our personal friendly connections, but our bigger vision connections. our ideas of what we're trying to accomplish. So he's, you know, so he had this new vision in February of 99, but he couldn't really start on it just then. But it came in. And he said, you know what I think I really want to do? And then you're going to have a lot more sound effects. I am feeling so much better now that Jupiter is in Aries. Oh, thank heavens. At any rate, I love a little fire in the chart, man. There was just too much water, even for me, and I am a water girl. All right, so Jupiter's in Aries, and he's, like, happy in Aries. In February of 99, he's looking around. He's going, well, this is all well and good, but it isn't what I want. So then in June of 2000, Jupiter ran into Saturn, okay? And they met, and they formed what's called a conjunction. And at that point, Jupiter said, you know, I've been thinking about this since February of 1999. And what I think I want to do is I want to go forward and do this for the next 20 years. What do you think, Saturn? And Saturn said, 20 years, huh? That sounds like a commitment to me. And Jupiter goes, well, I'm really ready. You know, it's in Taurus. We're meeting in Taurus, and it's really about building a foundation about what we believe to be true and important and what's really good for us. I think we should do this. And they got married. Now, they get married every 20 years, and we watch them. And they got married in Earth, fixed Earth, so it's not fast, but it's solid. And they've been building for the last 10 years. So last year, they looked at each other, and they said, do we like what we've built since 2000? And they said yes or no. Some stuff they liked, some they didn't, some stuff they passed on, whatever. They had their conversation. And you had this conversation in your chart. Do you like what you've built in your life? And the two of them looked at each other from across the sky, because Jupiter was over in Pisces and Saturn was over in Virgo. And he was like saying, maybe we can change this. What do you think, Saturn? And Saturn said, well, there's that big cosmic T-square coming. I guess we could. You always have to think of Saturn as kind of being like your tired grandfather or your tired part. He sits there and he goes, well, I guess we could. And he kind of is quiet. And then he goes, yeah. All right, I guess we could. And Jupiter is, you know, generally more optimistic. You know, he's just kind of a happy guy. So Jupiter's like, great, I think that sounds like a fabulous plan. And so they did this deal, you know, last spring and in August. And then Jupiter got waylaid with the Venus in Scorpio and Uranus going crazy and, you know, ending 12 years and Uranus with all his drama. And I'm not just ending 12 years, I'm ending 84 years. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So Jupiter's been preoccupied with Uranus. And now he has told Uranus, well, you've got the vision now, so I'm going to go ahead and go catch up to Saturn, and I'll catch up with you in March. So Jupiter's left Uranus in water, and now he's moving ahead, and he's going to catch up with Saturn for his third and final opposition, where they're going to look at the story that you had the idea of in 99, and what's been constructed since 2000, June of 2000. And Jupiter's going to say to Saturn, I know we built all this stuff in the last 10 years, but you know what I'd like to add in? I think it would make all the difference in the world. And he's about to tell Saturn his new vision. Okay? Now, his new vision is comprised of a few things. It's comprised of his square with Pluto, which he had. It's comprised of his joining with Uranus, which he's done, and kind of, you know, seeing the world in a different way. He had three unions with Uranus. And it's also comprised about his bigger vision. Because remember, the Pisces part of your chart, or the Jupiter part of your chart, rules the Pisces house, and it rules the 12th, the Sagittarius house, right? So the Sagittarius house is your belief systems about what's possible for you. And your Pisces house is your past life stuff. So wherever the past life part is, the Pisces house honorary rules it. Now, the 12th house does too, but the Pisces has a little flavor of the past life and a little flavor of what the soul really wants, your incarnation, how you connect to God. That's in your Pisces house, Pisces sign. So, you know, if you got Pisces in the first house, you think you talk to God. You know, George Bush thought you talked to God all the time. Cool. It's that Pisces thing. It makes you feel like, yeah, you're talking and God's listening. Jupiter Sagittarius is your belief system, your greater contribution to the philosophy of mankind. And the ninth house on, you know, in the chart is the karma that has resulted from past lives. So it's the gifts that you have, the skills that you have, the results of the effort that you get to use. So Sagittarius has a very strong piece, and Pisces has a very strong piece whenever Jupiter changes signs. So if you think back on 12 years ago, 1999, Jupiter changed signs, and he said, new 12-year journey, ding, ding. And then in June of 2000, he said, okay, Saturn, we're going to build something, which they've been building for the last 10 years. And now Jupiter wants to put an addition on. Or maybe he wants to move. Or maybe he wants to sell it and downsize into something slightly smaller. Or maybe he wants a pool. He wants something. He wants to build some new thing on the house or the life that you have constructed. And he's going to talk to Saturn this spring. And then Uranus comes along and he says, once every 84 years, we have an opportunity like this. And he's going to step in and say, I'm ready to roll. So your job with this energy is to really think to your highest, deepest, internal wish. You've always really, really wanted this section of your life, or you've always really wanted this in your life, whatever that is, and write it down. Get a vision of what that looks like and get an idea of what you want to do and get that out there so that when Jupiter runs into Saturn in a little bit, he can give Saturn the instructions. And Saturn then goes, okay, in his curmudgeonly little way, and he goes, all right, Jupiter, all right, we'll do this. You know, because now Saturn's in Libra. So he is above the horizon in the Anima Mundi chart. So the results of the efforts that what he and Jupiter have been building since 2000 are coming to light. The 10 years of effort you've put in are resulting in something. So now there's an opportunity to modify. Whenever we have the planets talking to each other, they say, are you happy with what we have done? And they present you with an opportunity to change it. And that's what's happening this spring. Now, right behind that, Uranus is going into Aries for the next 84 years. Starting a new 84-year cycle. So he's going to come along and just kind of sandblast the experience. You know, they're going to say, well, I think maybe we should clean the building. And Uranus is going to come along and go, okay, I got that part, guys. I know how to do that. And he's just going to clear it out and do it. But your job before Uranus gets there on March 11th is to get Saturn and Jupiter aligned and to get your soul's purpose, the reason why you're here, the reason why your soul came in, as evidenced by Jupiter, your principle of relating to the outside world, how you relate well, your Sagittarius place, your Pisces place, how you connect your soul into your vision, those two guys, plus now starting a new journey, linking up with the big old guy of building it. Who now wants to partner with you because he thinks you're finished with your apprenticeship because Saturn is out of Virgo and he thinks you should know how to do what he wants to do with you. So your job is to say, okay, I'm showing up. I don't know 100% how I'm going to do that, but I'm here, I'm volunteering. And get ready and also kind of feel free to pipe up and say, hey, you know what I really like to do is this, right? And so an example, you know, always helps. My chart's public information. September 11th to 1954, 6 o'clock. At night, 6:02 p.m., Rochester, New York. I have Sag midheaven. I have Pisces in the first house. Moon in Pisces. You also have to add the planets in, which I won't do yet, but we'll do that another time. And Jupiter is now in my second house, just about to go into my second house. So 1999, I've got a good job. I'm working at Pepsi, keeping track of every vending machine, VisiCooler, and fountain in America, wrapping up a big multi-year project. After having flown all over the country, doing installations, knowing where every vending machine in the world is, that Pepsi owns. I don't want to do this. I've been working in corporate. I've been working since 1975. You know, and each of the years, 75, 87, I had big changes in my career. And I'm sitting there going, I really don't want to be a corporate girl anymore. The politics, just I want to go do something meaningful. Keeping track of vending machines, not so meaningful. Pays the bills. I want to be an astrologer when I grow up. And I'd studied enough astrology to know I really loved it, but I didn't know how to do it, and I wasn't sure where it was going, yada, yada, the whole story. And then in June of 2000, we were really wrapping up. We were really finishing up the last big BUs. It was going to be cleanup stuff. It was a lot of year 2K conversion. So June of 2000, my whole team blows apart. My manager leaves, the senior guy above us leaves, my tech people all spin off on other projects. I'm kind of sitting there. We get a new guy who's a Pluto on the South Node, crazy alcoholic nut job, who hated me. And I kind of was looking around going, why am I here? What am I doing? And they're like, well, we have this other project you could work on, do-do-do-do-do. And I'm like, I don't really want to be here. And it was like, I got to go. And I left. And I had this vision of I was going to work a little bit longer and make more money in the bank before I went off to be an astrologer and, you know, yada, yada. And, of course, that was the universe laughing at me, saying, no, I think it's time for you to, Saturn in your midheaven, do this. Moon in your first house. Go for it. Pisces moon. Moon ruling the sixth. You know, Moon in Pisces in the first house, Pisces in the first house. And your spiritual path, Pisces in the first, is to Sagittarius teach. And, you know, do astrology, right? And whatever, you know, whatever the vision is. So, and my career has involved publishing, writing, teaching, communication, pretty much my whole life. But now you're here listening to me 10 years later on a radio show, which the internet didn't even have radio shows back then. And I'm an astrologer, right? I've been a full-time astrologer since 2001, a little sooner than maybe I anticipated. But, hey, I can honestly say I've been doing it 10 years, full-time, reading charts since 94, part-time. Wow. So now I'm like, okay, what do I want to do next? Books, yep, I've been working on a book. Radio show, yep, got the radio show. You know, working on, you know, just kind of the vision. What's the next vision? I love astrology, not planning on changing out of it. What's the next vision for me? So that's been my focus, well, working on it, the last couple of weeks and certainly over the fall, what my vision was for where I was going, wrestling with what's the dream look like now. And for all of us, in my chart, it's midheaven and it's me. And it affects my daily work. But it's my vision of what my soul wants to do. It's my purpose. Jupiter is always our greater connection to our humanity and our greater connection to our community, the community of choice that we want to be in. It's our positive principle of relationship to our society. And so when Jupiter goes into a new sign, he says to us, we need to have a more positive way of relating to society. This isn't working. And so literally, you know, a couple weeks ago, we had this example of positive relating with a woman getting shot in Tucson. And everybody stops and says, maybe we should talk nicer. You think? But in Sagittarius, and in Pisces, we do find the higher vision of humanity. Sagittarius in the vision that of what man can be. And Pisces in the sense of how we are all deeply connected to each other. And we are all part of each other's journey. So now we have this choice that we're at. Jupiter's starting a new 12-year cycle. Look at your life. What's the vision? Where are you going to expand over the next 12 years, because Jupiter is going to go through every house and expand that house in order, and then he answers back to natal Jupiter by placement. Natal Jupiter in my chart's in the sixth house. My work is my Jupiter. That's where I find, and I'm a Virgo, of course we like our work. So for me, the work is really important. Where is your natal Jupiter? That's where you're going to expand. Then this spring, Saturn and Jupiter are going to have one last chat. And Jupiter's going to say to Saturn, well, I think we really want a pool in the backyard, or whatever the life building is. And then in March, Uranus is going to come in like a bulldozer and clear the backyard, or whatever it is you're visioning. And it can be, you know, something that you always had a dream of, or that you didn't have a dream of up until now. I have a lot of clients that are saying to me, I never thought I'd want this, but I want it. And I'm like, well, you know, if you want it, it's in your chart, because it is, because you're not going to want something that isn't in your chart. And what's stopping you from doing it? And more often than not, what's stopping us is fear. And when we hear fear, we immediately think Saturn. And when we hear Saturn, we immediately think, well, the reason I'm afraid of it is because I got conditioned when I was a child to be afraid of going for that. And afraid of it, afraid of it, afraid of it. And I don't have to be afraid of it anymore. I got two planets in fire saying, light the match, go for your dream, envision it, you know, inspire, be inspired by it rather than afraid of it. And then across the sky from them, I have Saturn in Libra saying, I'm actually willing to partner with you on this. You know, and he does partner with us. We just sometimes don't realize it. But he does partner with us into the place we need to go, good, bad, or indifferent. So our job this week is to really envision that. Now, what's going to happen in the week ahead? Now, that was kind of the lecture part of the reading or the show. What's going to happen in the week ahead is we have a lot of aspects, but most particularly Saturn stations. And he's going to station at 17, and he's going to go back to the middle of October, okay, what was going on in the middle of October last year. And he's going to say, let's go back then and pick up from there. We left something in the swamp. Now, he's not actually going to go in the swamp. He's going to stand on the edge, and he's going to shout into the swamp, yo, throw me the thing that I left there. And when you get it, you may or may not want to continue with it. But he's going to go and get it because he thinks you need it. And so I've had a few people that, you know, the relationships blew up. They're getting divorced. Spouse is back on the door knocking and saying, hi, I realized I made a mistake. It's like, do I want them back? You know, what's the point of why you're doing it? Why? That's the question. Why would I do this? Does it enhance my life? Next question. Does it serve my vision of where I want to go for the next 12 years? Right? So I had the vision of wanting to be an astrologer in February of 99, but I'm a chicken shit Virgo. I didn't quit. I kind of kept working in the corporate, reading charts on the side. And then 9/11 happened, you know, my birthday, for heaven's sakes, three blocks from my office, you know, and I thought, I don't want to go back down there. It smells like dead bodies and who knows what we're breathing. And, you know, and I went out to be an astrologer after that. It was like, well, that's kind of the cosmic get out of the office, Anne. And each of us will have some kind of cosmic get out of the office over the next 3 months to encourage us to go to phase two or phase next, maybe different, maybe a new dream entirely of our dream. And your job this week, next week, is to talk to Saturn as he stops. Now he's pausing at 17 Libra. And he's going to pivot and go back to 10 Libra. And then he's going to come back to this degree in September. What we do with Saturn, you know, I teach this in my classes. He basically has his whole period from when he enters his shadow, stations, goes backwards, stations to go direct, and clears his shadow is 9.5 months. A pregnancy. So Saturn just found out, you just found out you were pregnant in October, and you're carrying the baby now. You're working on making the baby grow, whatever that baby's going to be, and you're going to give birth to it in September. And this week is the week you tell everybody you're pregnant, okay? Or not, but you're in the process, because Saturn stops, and this is the moment where we all turn and look at each other and go, ooh, did you see that? And the answer is yes, you saw it. And you're not going to know what to do with it until next fall. And I know sometimes it's like, oh, come on. But really, Jupiter's moving forward. Uranus is going to be moving forward. All the girls, the boys are moving forward. It's just Saturn. And he's saying, left something in the swamp. Got to go get it. I'll be back. And so the rest of you, rest of your chart moves forward. And the part that is kind of the part that you've been trudging up the hill will feel like it stops for a little bit. Now, there is a caveat with this. You know, for some people, this period of time when Saturn is retrograde between now and June, everything seems to go very rapidly. Those are the people that have Saturn retrograde natally in their chart. So about half the population has Saturn retrograde, and about half the population has Saturn direct, and a little more than half. But what that means is that half the year, any given half of us, half of the year, any given half of the population is moving forward and the other half is going backwards and revising. And then we switch roles and we revise and go forward and go backwards. So if you feel like you've really been flying along, you're going to stop this week and you're going to pause and Saturn's going to say, okay, you got this far, you got the go-ahead, go do it. And you're going to go work on it now, on the project that you pitched. If you've not had any luck, nothing's closed, nothing's held in, nothing's come in, this will be when stuff comes in and you're going to really run it. Because you're going to move forward because you have a retrograde Saturn in your chart. So the way you look to know if you have a retrograde, you look in your chart, it has a little R next to the picture that looks like an H. That's retrograde Saturn. So he stops on the 26th. The other thing we have this week is the Sun is pretty busy. It moves from 4 degrees Aquarius to 10. It's moving along 1 degree a day. It has aspects of brilliance this week with quite a few planets. So we can be very inspired. And remember, when we're working with an Aquarius Sun, we're working with a high-level visibility of energy, meaning it flies at 20,000 feet. It looks at what's best for the greater community. It says, gee, this is my contribution to the community. This is what I want to do. This is what I feel is important. So Jupiter, or the Sun, rather, is very much about the big picture right now and the vision, the future, the vision, the big future. Sun joins with Ceres on January 30th, next Sunday, and that is a new beginning around things you want to plant or things you want to start, more ideas than anything else, but give them a yes. Mercury is from 14 cap to 21 cap this week, so he's moving a degree a day about, which is pretty speedy for him. He goes a little faster than that, but he's zipping along. And in Capricorn, he is eminently practical, so the ideas in the mind are particularly practical because he's in a practical sign. He also is, because he's in Capricorn, he's going to be fighting with some of the planets, going to be fighting with Saturn, and he's also going to be fighting with Eris, the goddess of discord. He's going to be working well with some of the planets, such as Sedna, and Health, Hygieia, and Uranus. He's going to be having some nice cooperative energies with those. So we're going to have some interesting communications, possible blocks or no's. If you get a no, that just means you haven't found yes yet. Okay, no worries if you get a no. This is a week for no's, or a week for, well, provisionally what we're going to do is go ahead with it, but we want some revisions. And, you know, Saturn stationing, so revisions are to be expected. Retrograde, revisions, R-E words. Mars is going from 7 degrees Aquarius to 11 degrees of Aquarius, so those planets are going to be activated. He is also going to join with Ceres. He's traveling with the Sun. Okay, Mars and the Sun are very close. They're not linking up this week, but they're within orb of each other. And they're very, cranky, probably the best way to say it. Mars and the Sun together does a couple things. It's actually an exalted placement because the Sun loves Mars and Mars loves the Sun. And if you're born with it, it's not a bad thing. You know, we often talk about when planets are too close to the Sun, they burn up. Well, when Mars is close to the Sun, it gets excited. So we're going to find that there's a lot of fire, passion, excitement, and perhaps impatience because Mars is in Aquarius, and he can be a little abrupt in his communication style. No, I'm not doing it, and leave, you know, or just separates and goes. But the Aquarian energy is very strong, and he will join with the Sun, and when he does, we will find that, oh, wow, okay, you're joining with the Sun, great. And But he's traveling with the sun this week, so that makes him be a bit more irritable than he might otherwise be. Saturn stations on the 26th. We talked about that. Uranus squares Vesta on the 24th. That is a separating aspect wanting you to change your housing or change your home. Great time to throw things away, get rid of stuff, release things you don't need. Very often on those days you can find things break that are done. You don't need them anymore. Chiron is active too. He's a busy guy. He goes from 29 to 29, not that far, but he does have some aspects with planets around transforming things. Vesta, which is the planet of home and hearth, enters Capricorn this week. So she gets very practical as she's in the last degrees of Sag. And so Sagittarius goes from lots and lots of to, okay, let's organize and restructure. So you're going to find you're going to go from feeling kind of scattered at the beginning of the week. Again, remember, we've got this flood of Jupiter energy in Aries really kicking our charts all up and kicking all the energy up. So Vesta's going to go, okay, I feel like I need to get organized, and she will settle down. You know how like when someone comes in and they throw all their stuff all over the house and it's Jupiter in here. The Vesta's going to put up with it until about Friday, and then she's going to say, okay, we got to get a little structure in here. And then we also have, we don't really talk about these much, but I do use them. I find them very helpful. We have Apollonian stationing on the 26th, the same day that Saturn stations. And Apollonian is our sense of connection to the bigger community. She's kind of like a super Jupiter. So with her stopping, and a lot of, you know, if you're listening and you go, what the hell is she talking about, Apollonian? There are a number of points that we watch as astrologers that we think that eventually the guys in the Jet Propulsion Lab are going to find planets at. And we know what they are, and we're waiting for them to find them so we can say, hey, name it this, because we've been calling it this all along. So anyway, Apollon is kind of a super Jupiter. It looks like a Jupiter with an extra leg. And it has a quality of Jupiter, and it's stationing on the 26th, same day as Jupiter, as Saturn does. And it's stationing towards the back degree of Libra. So it's going to bring up stories from the fall of 1982, when Saturn and Pluto were last at that degree. So the fall of 82 will be back up also when Apollonian stations there. And it's really like a bigger family tribal thing, you know, where you kind of say the bigger tribe connects how. And, you know, in my case, it is a funeral. My mother died in 82, and my dad remarried, and my stepsister-in-law's father passed. So I have a family member, essentially. He's been in the family 25 years, since 82, 28 years, I guess. Well, I haven't known him that long. They've been married. Dad and Peggy have been married 25, 26 years. So I've known this guy 25 years, and he's their father, her father. And so it's kind of like, you know, he's not my grandfather, but he's certainly been around a really long time. And as an elder in the family passing. So there's a marker of the ending kind of energy. So for me, it's bringing up 82, because if my mother hadn't died and my father wouldn't have married this person, I never would have known this guy, kind of thing. You do that at night when you're lying there in bed. Or maybe you don't, but I do. Kind of go through that, well, you know, and I wouldn't know him. All right. And then up for the moons. We'll do the moons, and then we'll take some calls. And you see there's a few callers on the line. And if you want me to call in, you press 1 and raise your hand, because I only call on the raised hands. All right, so Monday, the moon is in Libra, with a closing aspect on Tuesday of 5:04 with a trine to Neptune. So Monday actually has some very lovely aspects. A little tough around lunchtime, but it's good. You know, good stuff. Traffic jams in the morning or arguments in the morning as you're getting up, but a lot of energy around leaping out of bed and doing things. Closing aspect of a trine to Neptune, nice aspect. Ends at 5:04 on Tuesday. So the moon in Libra Monday and Tuesday. Then there's a void moon, 5:04 to 9:15 p.m. on Tuesday night, and then it goes into Scorpio, and Saturn stops on Wednesday, when the moon is in Scorpio. So this is where we're going to be brought back to that swamp thing, because the moon's in Scorpio right around the degree. on the day that Saturn stops, that, you know, we were playing with all fall, with Venus and Scorpio, you know, the whole, you get the drill. We're going back into the swamp again, people. And so the closing aspect for the moon in Scorpio is a trine to Uranus at 10 o'clock at night on Wednesday. So Tuesday night, all day Wednesday, all day Thursday, till 10 o'clock at night on Thursday night. I know I said the wrong. 10 o'clock on Thursday night, trine to Uranus. This is what the fall was for. Tuesday night, all day Wednesday, all day Thursday. This is what you went through fall for. Pay attention. Big, big information coming in. 1:55 on the 28th, the moon goes into Sagittarius, where it is on Friday, Saturday, and early morning Sunday, it goes void with a square to Uranus. So while the good part of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, are good, Friday, Saturday, Sunday are for releasing, letting go, getting rid of, kick it out to the curb, say you're done with it. Moon goes into Capricorn on Sunday, the 30th. And that has a nice closing aspect, I believe. Should be a sextile to Uranus. But it's in the next month. Oh, my God, how did we get to February already? Yeah, sextile to Uranus. So the aspects on Sunday day and on Monday, the 31st, are pleasant because the moon's in Capricorn. So the beginning week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, good days for getting stuff out. Moon in Scorpio, Wednesday, Thursday, so that's a little more intense. Saturn stopping makes it potent, meaning the information you receive is P-O-T-E-N-T, potent, potent, potent. Watch for it coming in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's a big week for information. And then Sagittarius says, okay, I'm done with that. Bye-bye. And off we go. Right. And then Saturn goes retrograde until June. So we are really working with a lot of transformational energy, new 12-year cycle, back to 1999, February of 99, think of 87, spring of 87, think of 75, winter of 75. Each of those years you started a new 12-year cycle. You're doing it again now. And then in a couple weeks, Jupiter and Saturn are going to meet, because Jupiter's moving pretty fast. He gets all the way through all of Aries by the end of June. They're going to meet, and they're going to have a little face-off, part three, and they're going to say, okay, this is the addition to the plan that we built, or the new plan. Could be the new plan. I'm not going to say you have to stick with the old. There also can be some health issues this week, because Hygieia is on the planet Eris, the goddess of discord, on January 29th. So your job is to say, okay, might be a little discordant. You know, what are you going to do? The world's full of discord, especially since they named that damn planet Eris. All right, so we'll take some calls. I think that covers it. The show, by the way, reminder, we are shifting time zones. We have to get out of prime time, 7 to 11. So we will move, general consensus seems to be dinner time-ish, you know, like 6, 7 in there. Well, not 7, because 7 is prime time, but, you know, like 5:36 in there, as opposed to early morning, because that's church. So I'm like, okay, I can work with that. So we'll figure it out. I'm kind of liking, if I look at the hour, you know, the planetary hours, Sundays, planetary hours, around 5 o'clock is Jupiter's hour. Mars's hour is 6:14. I mean, that's, of course, now because we're in the middle of winter. But I'm thinking, you know, launching it during a Jupiter hour. So it's Sun-Jupiter. It gives good information, and it teaches you stuff. So it'll probably be then. And that will be taking place on the February 6th show. Although I will announce it again in official time next week on the 30th, once I actually sit down and figure out what time it's going to be. All right. A little public information here, last pitch. I've got 4 spaces left. If you live in the New York City area or you are a practicing astrologer in this general region, ESAR, which is a certification, or ISAR, depending on how you say it, is a certifying astrological organization. With Pluto in Capricorn, it's always good to have certification because you can say, see, I did this. So they have a certification program, and it consists of 3 parts. One is an ethics exam, which is pretty straightforward and fairly easy. You watch the CD, you take the test online. You pass, you fail. Not hard. Takes an hour, 2 hours max. The other is a 20-hour counseling course. And what they do is they step you through basic counseling techniques and how to do it. Now, normally this course is offered at conferences, and so you have to spend an extra 3 nights of hotels to take it. We're offering it in New York on the President's Weekend, the 19th, the 20th, and the 21st. It costs $295. I've got four spaces left. And it basically teaches you what to say to people, how to say it. I mean, you have all this information in a chart. How do you deliver it? And then what do you do when they start to cry? One of my students was here earlier today, and she goes, well, twice this time, this month, and I've been doing readings, and they started to cry. And I'm like, yeah, isn't that fun when they cry? So you have all this information. So this is what to do when they cry, or what to do when it's a really big problem and you have absolutely no clue. How to work with the person. It's counseling techniques. It's going to be Friday night the 19th, and then Saturday or Friday the 18th, whatever President's Weekend is. Friday night, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. $295 in New York, and that counts for your ESAR certification. You have to have it, so you can either pay for a hotel room for 3 nights at some exotic location like, you know, the ESAR conferences or UAC or something like that, or you can you know, do it in New York if you've got the weekend and you're free. If you're interested, feel free to email me, and I will send you information. And then the last part of the ESAR certification is the exam that you take at the conferences, too. And that's usually offered right at the end of the conference. So you can stay the last day and take it, and you don't actually have to pay for a hotel for that night because you're going to leave and go get on the plane like I did when I took it myself. So if you're interested, the course, counseling course, 20 hours this next month, and it will be offered, of course, it is offered at various conferences around the country as it's offered, but this is if you live in the New York City area and don't have a hotel room, don't have to pay for a hotel room, or you have a friend you can bunk on the couch of, we are offering it here. So forward to the callers. Thank you for the public announcement there. I don't normally advertise things, but I do have these four seats. And I'm one of the trainers. I'm the baby trainer. This is my first start. Hello, 585. How are you?
I'm good, Anne. Thanks. It's Aolia calling from Rochester.
Hi, Aolia. How are you?
Good. I'm getting ready to have a big birthday. And on 2/14/51.
Okay, wait a second. Let me... Valentine's Day.
Yep.
5/1?
5/1.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Time.
Evergreen Park, Illinois. 9:06 a.m.
Okay. And what was your question?
Well, I was hoping you'd maybe take a look at the solar return and talk a little bit about the coming year.
Well, okay, the solar return for listeners, and you're up in Rochester, right?
I am up in Rochester.
In the cold land of Rochester. Okay, so what the solar return does is what we cast it for, location where you're currently living or where you're going to be. Some people do actually travel on their solar return. Mm-hmm. Other people, you know, stay in their locations. So if we look at the solar return for you, the way we read it, so it's going to be on February 14th. Hang on, I did it for the wrong
year again.
Huh? Pardon?
My solar, my actual astrological birthday looks like it's going to be the 13th again this year.
Yep, February 13th. And so the time for the chart when you cast the solar return, if you're following at home and you don't know how to do this on the internet, is February 13th to 11 at 11:23 at night. So it's a very focused on the fourth house and third house, very
yeah.
Below the horizons chart. So your focus this year is going to be on home and the neighborhood. Pluto, Vesta, Sun, often Pluto in the third house indicates that you have a lot of renovations around the neighborhood. May literally, they're digging up the streets. And it's also next to Vesta, so there could be construction of housing or an apartment building or something like that. And then you have a lot of Neptune with your housing situation. So you do want to watch for water. The focus is very much about home and family, maybe you're digging into the ancestors and the past and the direction you're heading. With the solar return, we always look at what house the sun rules. In this case, it is the 10th house. And very often when there's a bunch of planets in one section as opposed to another, they can kind of balance each other, so that can be a big career year for you going up into 10. But it also, because there's so much at the bottom of the chart, it feels very kind of heavy down there. And then we've got Saturn in the 12th retrograde, trine to the Mercury, often speaking about, you know, family matters that have come up or back to, you know, when you were younger, age 16 and a half, 17. And then we have the moon at the very, very last degree of Gemini in the 8th house, and Scorpio rising, making it kind of an intense year. I would say it's a lot of work around cleaning out family stuff too, because the moon is trine to Neptune and the sun. Great, you know, when we have a lot of water houses emphasized, you know, 4, 8, 12, it's a good year for therapy. It's a good year for doing releasing work around emotional issues. So, and also the moon on the south node, moon in Gemini in the south node, you know, that can be some old childhoods or sibling story coming up. Do you have siblings? I don't remember.
I had one older brother, but he is on the other side a year and a half or so ago.
Okay.
What about a move with a solar return chart like this? It looks so staid to me. It looks so, because everything's down at the bottom there, it just looks so sort of put.
It's put and it's fixed. Fixed angles. Fixed lines. I don't think a move. Yeah, I'd be surprised if it's a move. It is a nesting in a house thing, you know, and with Ceres Mercury, you know, if you've got cousins or something, it could be some old family papers too. I don't know. It feels very much to me like you're going to be down in the basement clearing out things or down.
Oh, that's very true. I mean, if I were to sell this house, and even if I don't, I have a pallet full of stuff from my mom's house. I got rid of a lot, but not all of it.
Not all of it, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be, you know, because it's got a very mom feel, a family feel.
Yeah.
And if you're you know, releasing stuff, it's really about releasing those old things and saying, okay, let's release them so I can fly. Because it does feel very bottom heavy. And
yeah,
with the Saturn in the 12th, you know, that's kind of a lot of work alone or work by yourself. You know, and it could be writing too, you know, because there's an emphasis on writing and communication there. But when I see that, I'm always like, well, okay, let's say you have a flood or a foundation, have to do fundamental foundation work. And foundation work on a symbolic level is going back and dealing with our family stuff. So
yeah,
that would be my take on it. So happy almost birthday.
Thank you very much.
Good. Yeah,
thank
cool.
you very much, and good luck in the new format.
Thanks. I can't imagine how I'm going to get it all done in a half an hour, but, you know, we'll try.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, as a listener over the last year, I'm a little saddened by it. I understand, but it's such a short time period, and there's so much to talk about.
There's so much to cover, yeah. Well, it's interesting because they have this whole thing, you know, you can only have one half-hour show a day. And I'm like,
right,
well, why can't I just have 1 hour show a week? You know, it just seems kind of, I don't want a daily show. I want an hour show, you know, just, but we'll see. They keep writing and saying, we'll give you a discount if you sign up. So I'm kind of thinking they haven't gotten the enrollment that they thought they were going to get, which.
Maybe that'll work in your favor.
Yeah, I never know. And, you know, I did notice, we'll see if it prohibits me from booking an hour. If they let me continue to book an hour, I'll do an hour. If they only let me book a half, I'll book a half. It was smart with something, and I said, "Ooh, they've got it programmed in there already." So, wouldn't let me book an hour in prime time recurring into February. That's what it was. So we'll see. At any rate, all change is good. So I was looking for more hours. So basically, Blog Talk Radio cut my shows in half. I'm like, okay, that works. I'll take it.
Now you have more time. Another time.
I got 4 hours of time back, which is good. You know.
Good. So, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care. All right. Hi, 760. How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What's the question?
Okay. Wow, I'm excited. I guess you mean my birthday, right?
Yeah.
It's February 9th, 1983, and the city is, it's Urmia, Iran. It's U-R-M-I-A.
Wait, let me, 1983, spell it up, U-R.
U-R-M-I-A.
Okay, Iran?
Yes.
Cool, and what time?
I think it's sort of afternoon, like around 3.
Okay, cool. And what's your question?
So my question is, my birthday's coming up. I'm about to turn 28, and I guess the last year was really, really intense. It was a really intense, like, transition year. Kind of hoping to know what's going on, both, like, work-wise and romance-wise, if anything.
Okay. Well, definitely last year with the 3 p.m. time, lots of changes in terms of career and home, because the angles with an even 3 is 26, so it really was having big changes. Plus, you were the eclipses were going over your moon, so you're kind of waking up the whole story of why you're here in your work. This year coming up, you're going to find you're not as feeling as grounded, less, you'll feel more grounded because Neptune's going to be off your Pluto and helping you see what you really actually want to do. And that, I think, is a good thing. And with the moon, you know, if you're born a few minutes after 3, the moon's in the 7th house, giving us a lot more information about relationships, you know, big relationship coming in. Born more towards 3, it's work. So we're going to watch and see, is it work or relationship that you get of a new nature this year? And then Jupiter is going to be in your 10th house. So he's starting a new 12-year cycle for you. And you're little. I mean, you're not little, but you're young. So if you think back to 1987, when you were tiny, it would have been your dad that had the changes or your family that had the changes. And then to 1999, it would have been you that had the visionary changes. You're starting a new 12-year cycle around those. And that's probably the best excitement because you have a lovely Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in your chart. And those two planets have been dancing together all last year. So what happens is we call it a natal excitation. And when your planets, what you have natally, which is Jupiter-Uranus, which is that sense of wanting to learn and understand things, and the part of you that's really interested in unusual things, different maybe perhaps than what you were taught as a child, but the questing part of your mind, the part of you that says, gee, I really kind of want to know about that, and that you then go look it up. You don't even just think you want to do it. You actually go look. That planet, that configuration that you have in your chart was very active this last year. In the sky, Jupiter and Uranus were dancing together. And when they do that, they wake up your chart and have it go, oh my God, I'm awake. And you basically woke up this year on a different level than you ever have before. And it would have, one of the wake-ups would have been the first week in June. The other wake-up was the second week in September. And the third wake-up was just this last couple weeks and the beginning of January. And so now, having woken up, your chart is like, okay, I'm awake now. What do I want to do? And you have what's called a finger of God in your chart, which is also active right now. And so the finger of God has a sense of, okay, let me take you to a new place. And by active, meaning the planets have been stimulating it. So there's a lot of activity for you about what's the new vision, where are you going? And remember earlier I said, you know, in 82, fall of 82, spring of 83, I had the new relatives come in because my mom passed. You're having this whole new life start this year. And Saturn in the fourth says, put down the foundations. Talk to your folks about what was going on in Iran in 81, 82, because you're starting a new foundation like that. and I believe that was when Iran-Contra was going on, actually, the back end of that and the revolution. And now you're starting your own revolution in your own life about what you're going to do, what you're going to build of your life over the next 30 years. So this is a really exciting year for you. And last year was a year where a lot of things left that you didn't need anymore, or that left because your time with them was finished, so it was okay for them to go off stage, meaning they said, okay, we've given you all we can, and now we're going to leave because you're now in charge. And you're like, me in charge? And your Aquarius sun is really, really smart. And your Mercury Capricorn is very, very practical. And you have that lovely Mars-Venus conjunction in Pisces. Now, the Mars in Pisces, not so much fun because it likes to disappear when it gets scared. But the Venus in Pisces, she says, oh, come on, Mars, we can do it. And if you really trust your inner voice, you have a very good inner voice with this chart. If you listen to your inner voice, I think it'll give you some good guidance. But you're starting a new 84-year cycle in your career and your life direction this next month, and in your life direction this week. So this is a huge year for you, because the Jupiter return is going to be let's go, Kate. You've got a Jupiter trine for the whole year. So it's a huge year for you to kind of say, my vision for myself is this, let me try that, and just to take the steps towards it. You're a very other-oriented person with all the planets in the Western horizon. Very focused on other people, and, you know, you are what's called a bull chart, meaning you often look for other people to kind of complement you. You find other people that help balance you. And so this can also be a very big year for relationships, because Saturn in the fourth house wants to put down a foundation and a root, and you have, a strong Saturn-Pluto conjunction, which speaks to relationships being an important component of your life, even if on some level they make you a little nervous. So does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm one of those people that I'm very social, and I'm constantly always surrounded by lots and lots of friends, but I want to go to the relationship part, and that's been harder for me.
Yes. Well, you got Saturn in Scorpio, so Saturn in Scorpio is a little frayed. I have it too. It's a little frayed emerging. It goes, relationships sound wonderful, but they make me nervous. Because the part of you is like, well, how do I get out of it if I don't like it? And what if I get in and it hurts my feelings? And so it gets a little nervous. So generally what I find with charts like yours is the friends are how you meet the person, because you have Aquarius ruling your seventh house. So you do find yourself around friends a lot. But it's also like, what's your vision for what you want in a relationship? And then sometimes it's hard to be clear about that, because other people say, hey, you want to go do whatever? And you're like, yeah, that sounds good. So what you maybe want to do over this next couple weeks is sit down and say, you know what I'm looking for in a partner that I want to be with is someone who's got that interest in being out and going out, someone who believes in hard work the same way I do, someone who has a good mind, who's kind of an innovative thinker, and someone who has a sense of the possibility of what romance and union can look like. And because you're a Cancer rising, you know, traditional family is important to you, but it's traditional family with kind of your own little weird take on it. So come up with what you're actually looking for, because it's kind of like buying shoes. You know, once you're clear, well, I want a partner that does da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, and your family and friends are important to you, certainly the lots of activities that you do, all the different things you're interested in. So your chart is having nice aspects for it. And with the new Jupiter midheaven, it says, okay, the next 12 years, now I'm really actually ready for a relationship. And sometimes your chart isn't ready yet. So I would say to you, kind of say, well, what would ready look like? And what would that feel like? And focus that way, because that'll help. That'll help concretize it. Make sense?
Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. And our show is over. We have 39 seconds remaining. I apologize to all the callers. I know I talked a little longer than I should. It's hard to get off the phone quick. Any rate, this is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer on the Upper East Side. Manhattan at my bright red desk and signing off for the week of January 24th, 2011. I'm also Twittering. My assistant Rose is helping me Twitter. So what we're doing is sending out the alerts when the moon changes signs and when the big aspects happen. So sign up for Twitter. It's AnnOrtley@twitter.com. I don't even know how to tell you how to sign up. But it's there, and it sends you little alerts that says the moon just went void. So you're not going to be caught unawares, which is a very valuable thing. At any rate, I will talk to you all next week. Take care. Have a great week. And watch for that Jupiter station. See what he gets from the swamp. Bye.